Hi, my name is Ben Brown. I am currently in Matthew Ball's Nutcracker, and I'm playing both Nutcracker, Knickerbocker, and Jack the Gobstopper.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing to think that you're playing a Nutcracker and a Knickerbocker Glory and a Gobstopper. I mean, that's living the dream, isn't it?
It is indeed, you're telling me.
Brilliant. I mean, I was reading a bit about sort of this, this incarnation of Nutcracker. There's lots of different versions out there, but this is a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very different. We start in an orphanage and we move into Sweetie Land, where we've got marshmallows, gobstoppers, Knickerbocker Glories, licorice, all sorts. Something for everyone in the family, really.
Yes, that's what caught my eye. I sort of thought, oh, hang on, confectionery. Yeah, I think everyone likes sweets, don't they? Brilliant. What is it that sort of makes this sort of stand out from the other versions that are out there? I mean, what do you think it is about this version?
Well, it's whilst being similar in the sense that we have a lot of the same characters. So we have Clara, Nutcracker, Drosselmeyer, the Drosses. I think because the majority of the other versions of Nutcracker are solely ballet, this Matthew Bourne's work is always a lot more accessible for people of all ages and all different walks of life. And I think that's one of the things that makes it very different, that the characters are actually quite recognisable almost in normal day, everyday life.
Yes, it makes it accessible and it breaks down that barrier because, some people may look at the idea of ballet and think, oh, I don't know about that. But this is something that, I mean, are you finding the audiences that are coming in? It's all walks of life coming into the theatres to watch you, is it?
Yeah, definitely. I had one of my dad's friends came to watch the ballet for the first time in his life. He's about 63 years old. And he brought the wife, as he said, and then actually he ended up enjoying it more than his wife did. And he said that not what he expected. He was expecting to fall asleep within the first 5 minutes, and he was actually absolutely buzzing by the end of it and on his feet. So
there you go. See, are you finding that a lot then? People maybe sort of think, oh yeah, this isn't for me, but I'm going to go along anyway, and then they're pleasantly surprised and end up absolutely loving it. That's kind of how it goes with a lot of people.
It tends to be a thing, or it's like somebody's friends going to see it, so they go along with them, not really knowing what it's about or what it's going to be, and then just being pleasantly surprised. And I think the other thing that makes this quite different from other Nutcrackers, going back to your previous question, is that the majority of Nutcrackers are like Christmas shows. And whilst we do have like certain elements of like Christmas snow in the show, we're doing it now, aren't we, in April? But it's not a Christmas show. It's like right for all year round. And
I think
that's some people have turned around and gone, oh yeah, like Christmas show in April, but then it's not
Christmas or Easter, whatever time of year, there's always going to be the Nutcracker. As an actor, I mean, telling the story through dance with not necessarily using words, I mean, how is that sort of process of being able to do that? I mean, is that something that took a while for you to learn, or how did you hone that skill?
I mean, it's definitely a process, definitely. I've gone through formal ballet training, and then I went into musical theatre training. So the acting side of it was very much incorporated into my training and doing it through dance. But it is it's a bit of a weird one, because sometimes you do actually just want to say words. But it's quite an interesting thing when we go into the rehearsal room and we're kind of allowed to make noise or sounds that are kind of like would get out the emotion that you're trying to put across. And then you have to kind of dial that back when it comes to performances, but still keep the feeling of that so that it's conveyed to the audience. But I think one of the main things with it is that a lot of human interaction is actually done through gestures and facial expressions, a lot of things that you don't actually even clock, but we are all minutely aware of.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you walk into the pub and you do the kind of the, do you want a drink kind of symbol? You don't even think about it. So it's sort of adding on to that, really. And, you know, what do they say? You know, the majority of communication is nonverbal. You know, people can read how someone's feeling by expression on their face. So, yeah, but it must be hard, though, as you say, when you just want to kind of like express through, you know, vocally, and then you have to kind of stifle it and just use the dance. I mean, that must be a... That must be something that's quite hard to get the skill off, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, we do a lot of work. We normally have about 4 weeks rehearsals. And prior to the rehearsals, we've been sent a lot of information about who the characters are, what they act like. But we also do a lot of character preparation where we'll discuss with the cast what your character is, like how they react off things, who their friends are. And you kind of build up this whole like character background that you almost you know exactly how that person would react given a specific interaction. Because we all play different roles within the show, you're always getting different interactions. So it's actually quite often you're not even really thinking about what you're acting. You're thinking about what the other person is giving you before you respond off of it. So it's quite a naturalistic way of doing it.
Okay, that's really interesting. Sort of hear, you know, how you do that, and it all looks so seamless when you come to see, you know, the Nutcracker or any of the other shows. Everything sort of flows, and it all looks, you know, so fresh. But I mean, how are you feeling at the end of an evening's performance with all the dancing and everything? I mean, is it just like, how do you kind of chill out after the show?
Well, chill out is the exact word. So normally after a show, I'll jump in an ice bath. So fully submerge into an ice bath, just like kind of gets rid of any inflammation or soreness that you've got and recovers the body a little bit quicker. And then for me, I love a bit of pool, like playing pool. So normally head to the pub, have a drink and play some pool and just chill out, like you say, because it's quite difficult. When you finish the show, you're kind of in this purgatory of being absolutely knackered whilst also being on a high after the show.
Like, yeah. And do you find it sort of the adrenaline of it all that kind of carries you through night after night during the show?
Definitely that. The audience reactions, the applause at the end always makes it worth it. And you can always feel you get a lot back from the audience without even being able to see them, just from... Like if they're laughing in places, if they're applauding, you definitely feel the love or the support or the connection that you build up with the audience throughout the show.
So. Okay. And I think in terms of telling the story as well, I think the music, the soundtrack, I mean, Tchaikovsky, some iconic pieces there. I mean, that really helps sort of set the scene and tell the story, doesn't it, I'd imagine?
Definitely. It's actually quite interesting because I've done... productions with the BRB and the Royal Opera House of Nutcracker, and the music is used very similarly in those two pieces, but then Matt always takes the music, and so like the things that I remember those pieces of music being to what they are now are very different, but Tchaikovsky music is just sensational. It's gorgeous.
It's
like watching a movie when you are essentially given how to feel off of the soundtrack, and what that does, like it drives the story, drives the emotion, and drives us and drives the audience all in the right direction.
Yeah. And Matthew Bourne, you know, started the Nutcracker, did his version of it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival 1992. So over 30 odd years ago. But it's interesting to see over the years how he sort of come back to it, revisited it, imagined it and kind of like, change things here and there along the way. It's about process.
Yeah, there's lots of things that are kind of constantly changing. Even now, like for the end of the tour, we've got 1 week left working, and we've still got a rehearsal session after this meeting. We've got a rehearsal to change some things and swap some of the little acting moments out. And yeah, it's kind of an ever-evolving thing to keep it relevant and to make sure that everything that we're trying to say is coming across properly.
Oh, okay, so it's an ongoing process. So even when you're on the tour, you're sort of tweaking things and looking at what's working and what's changed.
Yeah, right to the last day. And I mean, like touring to different venues, there's different size stages, there's rakes, there's loads of different things. So that is always changing as well. But within the story, within the movement, we're constantly changing and making sure that we're giving out the best show that we possibly can.
And did you get much time at each venue to rehearse? Because, you know, given that each stage is different, you say different sizes and, you know, different sort of quirks of different venues. I mean, do you get much time to kind of familiarise yourself with the venue before the opening night?
Yeah, so we normally have a travel day on the Monday and then we'll have a tech rehearsal on the Tuesday, which is more so for, as it sounds, the technical side of it, so the flying props and so on. But that is normally our rehearsal to get in to stage. And, you know, like we have to respace a lot of sections. So like in this venue, because there's a very small wing on the left side and there's a very big wing on the right side, we've had to change one of the scenes so that all of the beds go off to the right side rather than going off on the left and on the right. So that was something that we had to sort out, which took a bit of time. But yeah, a Tuesday is our time to rehearse in the space and get used to it, and then on for the show that evening.
Yeah, wow, there's so much to it, you know, that the audience just come sit down, watch a performance, enjoy it and go home. But, you know, there's so much going on behind the scenes, but, you know, really looking forward to seeing you in Woking. So, you know, after this tour finishes, I mean, what's next for you? What's next in the pipeline?
So I've got 2 weeks off to be a normal human in society. And then it's into rehearsals for Carmen. So we got 4 weeks of that and then 2 weeks of the Royal Albert Hall, which is going to be pretty spectacular.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. A couple of weeks of going down to the pub and playing pool. And
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Well, you know, we're looking forward to seeing you in Woking. ATGtickets.com/Woking. It's on next week. So, we'll look forward to checking that out and seeing, you know, just how the Nutcracker, this version, just comes to life in front of the audience on the stage. But, Ben, thank you. It's been really nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.